This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
مكنا له في الأرض
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. وبعد، ربي شرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. So last time what we had done was we had stopped at the story of Khadr, and the last session that we did we had a long discussion on whether Khadr alayhi salam, is he alive on this earth, is not. And we mentioned different opinions of the scholars. Some of them said that, you know, the majority of them said that because of the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said that after 100 years of my death, anybody who is alive on this earth will not live. And then the response on the other side of the scholars were that, okay, fine, but what about Dajjal? We know Dajjal is going to come. And the second response of the scholars were like, well, Khadr is not from this earth. He was on the sea. So the hadith talked about people on the earth. So So Dajjal is on the sea, Khadr is on the sea, so he's excluded from this equation. And then so on and so forth, that discussion goes on. And then the discussion on what realm he operates in, we had a detailed discussion on that, that, you know, he is more concerned with the batin, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates the world, which you and I cannot understand, right? There are things that happens that we don't understand. And then there was a discussion that we said we would leave it, because that discussion is necessary for us to understand Khadir alayhi salam's discussion, as well as what is to come, which is Dhul-Qarnayn, which is that, and this is the beauty of the Quran, right? If we keep studying the Quran, we're going to get chunks of every science that we need to study, you'll get chunks of that. So this portion of what I'm going to discuss is part of our aqidah, right? Which is what we believe in, which is that something that the West calls paranormal activities, right? For us, we believe that those things can take place. And we have a name for that, which is called mu'jizat. Mu'jizat are things that take place at the hands of the Anbiya, specifically only Anbiya alayhim salam, only the prophets, in order for them to provide proofs of prophethood to the people that they're calling. After the Anbiya alayhim salam, comes a category of which is called karamat. Okay, these are also things that are khariq al-ada. These are also things that fall out of the normative scale of the world, the normal operating system of how things work. And these are things that the wali, or the person who is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have control over. It's not like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this karama now and it'll happen. So a lot of what we see sometimes where, you know, people claim that they have karama and then they can bring karama at that every moment, it's not. They don't have the control to say, okay, now I'm about to do a karama, all you guys get ready. Right? It doesn't work like that. It is something that happens that Allah allows this particular thing to happen. So an example of that was that we were traveling with one of the scholars and it was four of us. And we were in the car, and it was a very, pretty famous scholar in Medina, and we were in the car with him. And we wanted to go from a place where we were to a place which was almost an hour drive. Now, the person whose car we were in, the window at the back, that window does not go up and down. We all know that because we drove in the car from Riyadh to Medina. Like, that window doesn't come down. So we're in there, and then the sheikh is like, let me just put the window down. And he just presses the window and the window goes down. So we're like, all of us were, because we were recently studying students of knowledge, we're like, karama, right? Then what happens, like, we stopped at the gas station, you know, whatever, people went to get stuff, and we went and we checked the window and the window is not working. So the sheikh comes back in the car and we're like, sheikh, it's getting hot, can you roll up the window, put the window down, we're trying to test his karama. And he's like, لَا تَلْعَبُوا مَعِي. Don't play with me. I know what you're trying to do. Okay? This is not a karama, right? Like, it's a short circuit and the wire just connected once time. So sometimes we take these little things as it's not. It is something that is actually falls out of the normative day-to-day of life. And I'll give you some examples of that. So how do we know these things exist? Because of what happened with the Sahaba. Okay? Now, the belief of karamat, there is a very big, I would say almost 50% of the people that completely deny this from the Sunni tradition. From our tradition, they say these karamat, yes, happened. All these things that happened with Umar radiallahu anhu, all the things that happened with Khubayb ibn Adi, all of these strange paranormal activities that happened, all of these karamat, they were only for Sahaba. And after Sahaba, the succession of these karamat stopped. And there's a pretty big chunk of scholars that also say, no, that's not true. They take place throughout time and they're also taking place today. They can take place today, right? The probability of it is far less, but it can take place today. The example of that. So the Sahabi that was in Yemen, and, you know, this is a very famous hadith about Prophet Umar, narration of Umar radiallahu anh, where he said what? He said, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي لَمْ أَمُتْنِي. Allah, praise be to Allah that Allah had not taken my life until I saw a person from the companions of the Prophet at the level of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The story was that this Sahabi was in Yemen and he was thrown into fire and he stayed in fire for 7 days and came out alive. And he came back to Umar radiallahu anhu in his khilafah and told him the story. And he said, praise be to Allah that he didn't take my life until I saw someone from the Sahaba, from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the level of Ibrahim. Similarly, Khubayb ibn Adi, when he was being Khubayb ibn Adi and the second person that was with him in the ambush. They were both ambushed right after Badr. And there was an ambush. They were going out for a secret mission and they got ambushed by the tribe. It betrayed them. There were 10 people. 7 were killed. 3 took refuge on top of the mountain. One of them was Khubayb ibn Adi. I forgot the name of the second one. And the third one, the name is not mentioned in the books. So these two, they had amazing karamat. One of them, he raised his hands. And he said, oh Allah, akhbir nabiyyak ma fa'alu bina. Oh Allah, tell your Nabi what they did to me. And Jibreel alayhi salam from the seventh heaven came down and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the entire scene of what happened. Then he said, this person on the mountain, he said, oh Allah, ever since I became a Muslim, I have not allowed a kafir to touch my body. If I die today, protect my body and fulfill my promise. I've promised that I will never touch a kafir and I will not allow a kafir to touch me, a mushrik. So protect my body from it. There was a lady by the name of Sulafa bint Mahyan. Sulafa, she was a really, really rich woman. And her 3 or 4 of her close male relatives died in Badr. So she took an oath that and it was this person who killed all of her relatives. So she took an oath that I shall not take respite until I drink water in the skull of this person. So she gave 1,000 dinars. A lot of money, not dinars. Said, anybody who can bring me the head of this person, I will give them 1,000 dinars. So this person dies. As soon as he dies, the karama, the narrator is mentioning this. Who's the narrator of the story? Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam says, فَأَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ ضُبَابًا. Allah sent fog. And everything, the entire place was covered with fog. They could not see. So they said, we'll come back and take his body tomorrow. Nothing is going to happen. Anyways, it's a desert. There are no wild animals here. Next day they came, they could not find his body. And his body was buried by the angels. Khubayb, on the other hand, he is also being executed in Makkah, a public execution. And right before he is in the prison, he is in the house of the woman that is basically, you know, the one who captures him. He was held captive in that house. And the woman was taking care of him. So he says to the lady of the house that bring me a razor so I can beautify myself to meet Allah. That I just want to fix my beard because I'm about to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she brings that blade and she says, when I entered, I found that he was eating grapes. وَأَهْلُ مَكَّةَ لَا عِنَبَ لَهُمْ. People of Makkah, this is not the season for grapes. And he was eating grapes while his hands were tied. So these are karamats that happened at the time of, and the list can go on with the Sahaba. Sariya, Umar radiallahu anhu is on the minbar. He says what? Ya Sariya, wara al-jabal. 3,800 kilometers away, Sariya hears the sound of Umar radiallahu anhu saying, behind the mountain is the enemy, be careful. Right? So these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing then and now. And these are all karamat. These are supernatural things that can take place, but only at the will of Allah, not at the will of the wali. That is very important. Okay? So so all that we're going to study today is going to be of that category. So we must understand this. So now the story begins. Remember the 3 questions that were asked? Ashabul Kahf, yas'alunaka anir ruh, and? Yes. Rajulun tafa al-mashariq al-ardi wa magharibiha. So Dhul-Qarnayn. So today we begin the story of Dhul-Qarnayn. The person, Dhul-Qarnayn, is he a human being? He had horns. Okay, so let's talk about his name first. There are four aqwal of his name. Okay, this is going to be a little bit different style of tafsir because we must understand this. Okay, I generally don't do aqwal and stuff, but this is going to give you appreciation of the science of tafsir today. Dhul Qarnayn, number one, Qarn is a century. So Dhul Qarnayn, the one who lived in two centuries. That's one tafsir. He lived the latter part of one century and then the latter part. So all of you guys are Dhul Qarnayn, right? According to that, because you lived in the previous century. Hopefully, some of them didn't. Some of them didn't. Yeah, you didn't. People before, anybody before that was born before 2000, you are all Dhul Qarnayn, according to that definition. Because you lived in one century and now you're living in another century. That's one meaning. The second meaning of Dhul Qarnayn is that he has the knowledge of this dunya as well as the batin, right? So the obvious and the hidden realm. So he understands the obvious realm as well as the hidden realm. The third meaning of Dhul Qarnayn is that when he was growing up, there was a sword that was hit on his head and his skull had split. So it had an obvious separation and a protrusion. So it felt like he had two horns. That was his physical structure of his skull. The fourth or fifth? I don't know, I forgot. Fifth? Fourth? Fourth. The fourth meaning of Dhul Qarnayn is he used to have a qawun sula, which is like a literally like something like this, which used to have two actual horns on top of it. Okay? So that's why he is named Dhul Qarnayn. Most of the tafsir scholars of the past, they call Dhul Qarnayn the old tafsir scholars and the previous classical tafsirs, they'll say that he is the Iskander the Great, Alexander the Great. Okay, that's one tafsir. Then there are tafsirs that say that this person was a person in India. And a third tafsir is that he was from the area of Tajikistan and those areas of China and Russia, that belt. And that's why the tafsir is all, well, because the Greater Wall of China and all of that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to know who he was, he would have told us. Right? He wanted to focus on that he was known as Dhul Qarnayn. Right? That's one part. was he a king? He was a king. And how many people have had the kingdom of the entire world? That's good. It's easy to answer this question, right? How many people have had the kingdom of entire world? It's very easy. Four. Two were kuffar and two were Muslims. Who are the two kafirs? Nimrud and? No. Bukht Nasr. Nebuchadnezzar. Yes. Bukht Nasr. These are two kuffars. Two Muslims. Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dhul Qarnayn. Who's the fifth one? Who is the fifth one who hasn't come? Mahdi alayhi salam. Huwa aydan, he will also be the Amir of the entire world. The entire world will submit to him. Okay? He is to come. He's not here yet. Now, Dhul Qarnayn, about him, there are two aqwal. One is that Dhul Qarnayn was a human being, and the other is that Dhul Qarnayn was an angel. Okay. In either case, okay, if you want to take him as a human, if you want to take him as an angel, in either cases, the tafsir that we're going to do is going to make sense to you. If you're going to take him as a human being, then that means that he had literally mu'jizat, right? Like, can human beings survive in space? Can human beings survive in space? Like, without any spacesuits and stuff? Is it a possibility for us to survive?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? No?
Probably not.
Yeah, Isra Mi'raj is in 20 days or something. Didn't he go on Isra wal Mi'raj without spacesuit? He not only went there, he actually went all the way to the seventh heaven, right? So if you just go to like the height of Mount Everest, it's so cold that you can't survive. But he survived. Where is Isa alayhi salam right now? With his physical body. He's in the second heaven. He's surviving. Idris alayhi salam, right? On the fourth heaven, right? His ruh was taken. He was physically present in the fourth heaven. Okay? So, and that's why it's important for us to understand aqidah. Okay? Something that hasn't happened or is least likely doesn't become impossible. Yeah, you can say that it's a high probability that if you go to the space, you're probably going to die. High probability. But having said that, is it possible for somebody to survive in space? Absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can alter all of the composition of your body for you to survive in space. Absolutely. When we're going to be in Jannah, there is going to be no bathroom. We're not going to go. There's going to be no defecation. There's going to be no urination. Like, nobody's going to urinate. Allah is going to take... And that was one of the biggest objections that the Jewish people had, right? They're like, what kind of nonsense is this Nabi telling you that we're not going to have this? So the one of the Qadis, they said to the Jewish people, he said, when you eat your food, does all of the food come out or portion of it? He said, portion of it. He said, the one who is capable of taking portion to your body and other exits your body, is he not capable of having the entire thing consumed by your body? What does it sound? You hear it? What? Printer? It stopped, alhamdulillah. All right, so that's the other part about Dhul-Qarnayn, that whether you take him as a human being or you take him as an angel, the story that we're going to discuss, it's all going to make sense. Okay? Now, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ. The word يَسْأَلُونَكَ comes in the Quran 16 times. 15 times it comes in the form of يَسْأَلُونَكَ, مُضَارِع, and one time it comes in a form of past tense. Where is the past tense? I think it's in Surah Baqarah. Past tense, سَأَلَكَ. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ إِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي. Right? Whenever they ask you, O Prophet of Allah, about me, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. In all of the answers of يَسْأَلُونَكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after that, قُلْ, O Prophet of Allah, say. But in سَأَلَكَ, the قُلْ is dropped because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to let you know that you don't need an intermediary to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي, if my servants ask you, إِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, right away. Not even قُلْ, O Prophet of Allah, say to them that I'm Allah, remove that قُلْ and connect it directly. Okay? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over here, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. They're going to ask, they ask you about ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. قُلْ, O Prophet of Allah, say to them, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. I am about to relate to you some information. Whatever we know now is just a very small portion of the detailed story of ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ. Okay? Now, understand, like, this is a part, I'm trying to understand how I can actually relate this to you. So the part when Allah says, سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا, right? In that, there's an element of elevation of the story of ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, right? Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is he's telling you, look, ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, whatever great actions that he did, now, all of his life, his story has become a form of tilawa, a form of ibadah for you. And this is how Allah honored his positive life, his blessed life. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Right? If you and I do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah can turn that action of ours as a source of ibadah for others and a source of reward for you. So every person that reads this story today, ذُلْقَرْنَيْن gets a portion of that reward too. Right? And that's the subtle part. When Allah says, سَأَتْلُو, right? Over here, Allah is like, I'm about to recite. So this is a recitation, and that recitation of the Quran is a form of ibadah. But his goodness turned his story into a form of an ibadah. Okay? سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرى. Okay. إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we had makkanna, we had established him, we had given him all of tamakkun. Makkana yumakkinu basically means to be able to have complete control. Nothing is out of your control. Inna makkanna lahu. We had allowed him to have the control fil ard, in this earth. Wa ataynahu, and we had given him min kulli shay'in sababa. And we had given him all, i.e. the means of all things. Kulli shay'in, all things. Sababa, the means. Okay. How many times does the word sababa comes in the Quran? Nine times. Right? The word sababa comes in the Quran nine times. Okay? All of the nine times, except one, right? If you look at the translations of it, all of the nine times that we translate the sababa in the Quran, we translate it as a pathway. A pathway. Okay? And the word asbab, asbab, today we say sabab. But the word asbab in the Arabic language, if you look up in the Arabic dictionary, you say it says, turuqus sama'i fi abwabiha. It is the passageways and gateways of the skies through the doors of the sky. That is the literal definition if you pick up the Arabic dictionary. Asbab, turuqus sama'i fi abwabiha. Okay? أو معارجها, even some of the castles that can be found in the skies. Okay, all of that is the literal Arabic text of the meaning of the word asbab. Zayd ibn Aslam, the Sahabi, the Tabi'i, he used to say that Arabs only understood the word sababa as ways in the sky. Whenever the word sababa was used in the Quran, Arabs did not understand it any other way. Okay, this is important for us to understand. Okay, now what happens? Every time we do translation of this particular ayah, right, we turn it into means. Say sababa means, which is a really far-fetched translation of it. But the reason why most of the mufassirun have done it is because they didn't understand space travel. They didn't understand all of that. Like, it was very foreign to them. So they said, no, you know, we'll use the word sababa, fi kulli shay'in sababa, i.e. Allah had given him all the means of all the things. The actual translation, if you do it, based on tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, doing the tafsir, using Qur'an with the Qur'an, this means that we had given him kulla shay'in sababa, we had given him the means, we had given him all things that he needed for the pathways of the heavens and the earth. Okay? Now this concept was not foreign. Right? What does Fir'aun say to Haman? Ya Hamanu, Ibni li sarhan. Can you make for me an escalator sort of a thing? Why? La'alli ablughu al-asbab. So I can reach the pathways of the sky. And once I will reach that with the means that you will create for me, right? Then I shall be able to attali'a ila. No, fa'attali'a ila ilahi Musa. So I can go and check Allah, this Allah that Musa is talking about. It's in the Quran. So literally he is telling Haman, hey man, why don't you build me some space travel thing so I can get to the sky. Asbab as-sama, I can get to the doorways of the sky so that I can cross, and now let me go and check. Where is the ilah of Musa? It's in the Quran, and it's translated as the pathways of the sky. So if we take that same translation here, then the entire story takes a complete shift. Okay, how does that? So, inna makkanna lahu fil ardi, we had established him in this earth. He had all the resources that he needed. Why? Wa ataynahu, and also we had given him kulla shay'in, everything that he needed, sababan, i.e. all things that he needed to be able to enter those pathways. Okay?
فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So even in the translation, what do they say? So he traveled the course.
You pick up your translation, it says you travel. So sababa in the morning, in the ayah before was means, all of a sudden next one we say he traveled the course. So if you understand it as means, then what happened? He traveled the course. Course where? He's leaving this earth. Now it's very important for us to understand some of the things that the sahabas in the ahadith have been mentioned about him. For example, there's a hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, a qawl of Ali radiallahu anhu, that Dhul Qarnayn, he parked his horse on Surayya, the Cyrus star. It's in Fath al-Bari. He parked his star in Surayya. What did I say? He parks his star? I like that. It's good. I think I need coffee. So he parked his horse at Surayya, which is a Cyrus star, and then he came back. And nobody from the previous generation ever questioned that, because they understood that travels in the space was a normal phenomenon. Nobody questioned that. Like, and even it was recorded, and it has been recorded till today for us, right? And so many other aqwal that we have about Dhul Qarnayn. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So he traveled his course. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ. This is something important for us to understand. Until he reached the setting point of the sun. Where does the sun set? We've discussed this in the previous story. Does the sun ever set in the world? It's an illusion of sunset. But the sun is actually never setting. Okay. How would you have the sun setting? What needs to happen for you to have to actually see the sunset? And what happens in outer space? How far do you have to be in outer space? You have to leave this galaxy for you to be able to see that sun completely eliminate. Like, it's no longer there. So he's saying, حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَى, until he reached the point, مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ. He looked back and he's seeing he's leaving this earth. He's traveling and now he doesn't see that galaxy anymore. He's like seeing our solar system. He's out of it. Maghriba Shams. Wajadaha. This is so powerful. Taghrubu. Oh, there's food today? MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Allah, Allahu Akbar. This is amazing. Wajadaha. He found the sun. Taghrubu. It was setting. So he's looking at the sun and he sees the sun being setting. Fi aynin hami'atin. He sees the sun setting in a dark, in a spring, or in a hole, aim, in an eye. Hami'atin, it is murky, it looks like water, but it's murky. There, once he's about to leave this earth, wajada indaha, at that moment, he found a qawm, he found a group of people there. Question for you guys. What is he talking about? This ayn, it's dark in color, think about it. Black hole. Go and read the descriptions of black hole. It completely coincides with this. It's like an eye, an eyeball with a dark, murky water. Aynin hami'atin. So he's actually exiting. And when he is looking back, he sees that as a black hole. Aynin hami'atin. Wajada indaha qawma. At that place, he sees qawm, a nation. Is it possible for us to have a different nation? How? Oh, yeah, you guys took Aqidah. You can't talk. You guys, like, the two of them attended the detailed Aqidah class, so they know the answer to this. You guys can't say. The rest have to figure this out. Yeah, can they? Do we have one Earth or multiple Earths? Huh? One Earth? How many? Seven Earths. So there are seven of you. We have to get into multiverse. We have to get into multiverse. Okay. Dr. Doom sounds even more interesting now. So, question for you guys.
In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah has created seven heavens and seven earths. And they are exactly the same. Mithlahun. Like they're replica of each. Okay. Now, is there a possibility for us to have another intellectual creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that exists on those seven heavens of or seven on that those different earths? Yes, it's possible. Have we seen it? Do we have any information about it? No. Right? No. But we have enough ayat that allude to that, that Allah is capable of doing that. And Allah sometimes tells us that. If you don't behave, I will remove you. And then, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي خَلْقًا آخَرَ I will bring another gen, another, not another, another insan. I will bring another creation that are not going to be like you guys. Okay, so Allah is fully capable of that. And we have this in our tafsir books that before us were what? Before ins were? The jinns. And before jinns were the bins. And before bins were the hins. Right? And those three, all three, and they were all, so, and then they were all intellectual because the jinns were sent to negotiate with the bins. And if they don't listen to you, then kill them. All of that is happening. And we know, I'm seeing the beautiful faces of people that are like, what is going on? So, seven earths, he goes and he finds Indaha, at the time he's exiting this universe, this world, and he's going to the different world, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا He finds a group of people over there. قُلْنَا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ We said to Allah says to ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ You have a choice. إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبْ أَوْ Or إِمَّا أَن تُعَذِّبْ You can punish them. وَإِمَّا أَن تَتَّخِذَ فِيهِمْ حُسْنًا Or you can deal them with a gentle and nice, kind manner. Who generally has the option to punish at mass scale? Angels. And that is the ayah that alluded to a lot of the scholars saying that he was an angel. He was not a human being. Angels generally come to Allah, sends them to a nation and says, punish them or don't. Allah gives them the choice. To the angels, sometimes Allah gives them the khiyar. That if in Salah, if they turn back, then don't punish them. If they punish them, or go and ask the Nabi. Go and ask the Nabi. So that is what's happening. قَالَ أَمَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ So he comes and meets this group of people. And he says, as for the ones who have transgressed, فَسَوْفَ نُعَذِّبُهُ We are going to punish you. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ Then you will be sent back to your Rabb. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ And he will also punish you. عَذَابًا نُكْرًا A torment, a horrible torment. وَأَمَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا And as for those who became Muslims and they iman, they believed and they did righteous deeds or good deeds, or they do good, فَلَهُ جَزَاءَنِ الْحُسْنَى For them, they're going to get the finest rewards. وَسَنَقُولُ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا يُسْرًا And we will have, our commands are going to be easy for them, i.e. we're going to treat them with ease. Okay. So it is important that this society had elements in terms of the formation of rewards, punishment systems, and all of that. They understood this. So it is a society, it's a group of people that had Sharia, that had right and wrong. They were able to differentiate. They had a belief in Akhirah. They had all of that. Okay. ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا So then he traveled. Now he traveled a course, i.e. he traveled a different... ثُمَّ is referring to, then he traveled a different course, i.e. he traveled further. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَطْلِعَ الشَّمْسِ What is happening this time? The time before, he's exiting from this world and he sees the sun from our universe setting. Now he's traveling... And he's entering somewhere else, so he sees the sun. The first thing you're going to see is the brightest star. So he's entering into another realm, and he sees مطلع الشمس. He sees the sun rising. Okay? حتى إذا بلغ He reaches the point, entry, مطلع الشمس, where the sun rises. Where does it rise? It's always there. But if you're coming into the galaxy, the first thing you see is that. So he enters that place. وجدها تتلع على قوم.
Now he enters this place, this verse, this universe, and he finds that the sun was in the, for this society, ala qawmin, it was rising on a people. The sun was there on a people. Lam naj'al lahum min duniha sitra. They had no way to protect themselves from the light of the sun. And this ayah also alludes to the fact that this can't be in this world, because we can always find shade from the sun. And Allah is like over here, lam naj'al, i.e. it's like Allah is like, we had not created for them. They had no way at all. They had no way at all to cover themselves or save themselves from the light of the sun. In our tafsir books, yes, the sun was always out and they had no protection. No. When the sun was out, they had no protection from the sun. Because of the hadith that is mentioned in Ibn Kathir. This is a hadith that is in Ibn Kathir. It's a very long hadith, but I'll summarize it. The summary of the hadith is that when he came over there, Dhul-Qarnayn, he saw these people. The only protection that they had from the sun is that they would take the fat. They would take the fat of any animal that they had access to. They would put that fat all over their body. And then while the sun was up, they would keep themselves submerged completely in the water to protect themselves from the sun. And then when the sun was about to set and there was some rays left, they would catch whichever fish they were able to catch, and they would just raise the fish with a stick, and the rays of the sun were so strong that kana yushwa lahum bishamsi samakuhum. Their fish would just literally barbecue in the sky with literal rays of the sun. And then as the sun would set, then they would come out and eat whatever they could. Okay? So this is mentioned in Ibn Kathir about this. Okay. Kathalika. Remember, we have mentioned this again and again and again in Surah Kahf and previous surahs. Whenever Allah says kathalika, i.e. this is referring to the way all of the miracles that we have discussed about Ashabul Kahf and about Zulqarnain and about Khadir alayhi salam. Likewise, وَقَدْ أَحَطْنَا بِمَا لَدَيْهِ خُبْرًا. Allah is like, the way I am telling you about all of these stories, Allah is like, we are well aware, we have absolute true full knowledge of Him. I.e. don't get in doubts about what is to come, because what is to come is actually more powerful. Okay? Then, ثُمَّ أَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. So he traveled the course. Okay? He traveled the course. This is the third course he travels. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. Or another tafsir, another qira'ah, بَيْنَ السُّدَّيْنِ. Okay? Now, this is where it's really interesting, because Saddain is two mountains. That's how it is translated as. بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ, two mountains. This kalima, sad, in the Quran comes four times. Out of the four times, it comes in Surah Kahf, in ayah number 93. It comes in Surah Kahf, ayah number 94. And in Surah Yasin, it comes two times in ayah number 9. وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Right, we have created, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا. We have created between, i.e. them and the opposite side, سَدًّا, a barrier. Okay, right? فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And they do not see. So this barrier was a barrier. Which story is this referring to? Come on, man. When was the barrier where Prophet ﷺ just walked right in front of the people? Hijrah. When all the 40 tribesmen with their swords open were standing and waiting to kill Prophet ﷺ. And over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we had created between Rasulullah ﷺ and those people a barrier. So he literally walked out in front of them. He could see them. through the barrier. They could not see him. Okay. So As-Saddain comes this time. So really interesting that all the times in the Quran, Sad is used as a barrier except over here. And they call it mountains over here. Sad in the Arabic language generally is not never used for mountains. But because of the hadith that they are encapsulated between two barriers, they literally said these are two mountains. Okay, they literally said these are two mountains. But the actual meaning of Sad is a barrier. Okay, so hatta, until, idha, balagha, he reached bayna saddain, between the two barriers of the two worlds. Okay, between two worlds. So he's in this one world and another world, and between these worlds are barriers. The way we know about the story of Prophet ﷺ, a barrier, they are in this world or another world, but there is a barrier. There's a barrier between these two worlds, bayna saddain, between two barriers. Wajada min dunihima, separated from them. Okay, so he's not talking about this. There's a min dunihima, over there he found a group of people that away from this barrier was qawman, was a group of people. La yakaduna yafqahuna qawla. There were people who could not understand language. Yafqahuna qawla, i.e. there was a group of people, but they don't have the ability to talk. Okay. And yafqahuna qawla, any form of speech, they're not able to understand. Now, the way the Mufassirun have interpreted this ayah is saying that, okay, they were talking in sign language. But then that ayah doesn't make sense, because yafqahuna qawlan, in qawl, any form of qawl, anything that is understood, whether you say it with your tongue or it is heard, aw bil lamz, with like a wink, and all of those forms of communication is called qawl, right? So لا يكادون يفقهون قولا, there are a group of people, they could not understand, they did not have the ability to understand speech. Okay, so what's the next ayah? So now they're talking to Zulqarnain. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told you they don't even understand speech. Next ayah just, قَالُوا يَا ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ, oh, ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ. Then now they're having a full conversation with him. How do you reconcile that? No. يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. That ayah cannot. That meaning can't stand. Just from the grammatical. I know what you're trying. Yeah, there's a possibility that you can do it, but it won't stand, because لا يكادون يفقهون قولا, any form of speech. But then right after that, they talk to Zulqarnain. You know what solved this mystery for me? You guys are gonna laugh. Okay, Mandalorian season one. We were sitting and watching, you remember that what's that, the little green creature's name? Yoda? No. Grogu. Have you seen it? Grogu. And then that lady with the laser thing. Ahsoka Tan, right? Ahsoka Tan. So remember the first time Ahsoka Tan meets Grogu? And Mandalorian is like in the back, and he walks up and he sees both of them, and they're just sitting there. And he's like, what is going on? He clearly sees no sign language, no physical inclinations. They're just sitting there. And then she turns to him, and then she picks up and picks him, puts him down. And then they're just sitting there. They're looking at each other. And then Mandalorian asks Ahsoka Tana, says, are you guys talking to one another? And she says what? She says, no. We understand each other's feelings. We don't need to talk. Like, our communication is through feelings. That can actually be called not qawl, because it's feelings. You haven't expressed anything from your physical existence. And then we found out that elephants can speak like that. Elephants can speak at subsonic waves for over 100 miles. They can send these feeling waves that are so subsonic, and they can travel so far, and they can actually feel an elephant in stress somewhere really far and then show up to help that elephant. Okay? And it's there's no communication, no sound. So over here, لا يكادون يفقهون قولا, that they were not able to understand. Right after that, قالوا يا ذا القرنين, i.e. there was a means of communication that was beyond what you and I can understand in this realm. It was speech, but it was not قول. It was a communication, a form of a communication. يا ذا القرنين, إن يأجوج ومأجوج. Indeed, يأجوج and مأجوج have caused a lot of havoc for us. يفسدون مفسدون في الأرض. So before we get into the ayah, we have to first understand Ya'juj Ma'juj. Okay? How many of you know what Ya'juj Ma'juj are? What are they? Tiny creatures? Okay, good attempt.
Okay, so I think the Juj and Ma'juj, I think they're Gog and Magog or something.
Gog and Magog, okay, good.
They're the characters.
They're what?
They're the holy book characters.
The holy book characters. Something that's like a nice way to put them. The holy book characters. Okay. Anybody else? They're humans being, but they're sons. So the first belief that we have as Muslims is that they are from Banu Adam. They're from the lineage of Adam alayhi salam. Okay? Remember the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that's why it is so important for us to understand a hadith in full context. Right? Like I saw some TikToker guys, like, you know what, like the chances of us entering Jannah are like next to slim, because the hadith in Bukhari that says that out of the 1,000 people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, 999 are going to enter hellfire. Yeah, Habibi, read the full hadith. And he stopped the TikTok right there. Right, and then somebody messaged me saying, "He's like, oh, so what's the point of all this effort?" I'm like, "Yeah, but read the full hadith. The hadith says, even as much as you are being shocked by this news, the Sahabas were shocked." And he said, "How are we going to make it to Jannah?" And the Prophet ﷺ was like, "Don't worry about you guys. For those 999, all of them are going to be at Juj Ma'juj. Okay, so there's a high probability that we'll make it. Okay, so they are from Banu Adam. That is the belief of." Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is our belief, as well as the Shia, they believe that they're from Banu Adam. Okay. Now, how did that happen? There's lots of tafsir in that, and there's no authentic hadith. How those 999, did Adam alayhi salam have children somewhere else in a different realm? Like, there's lots of hadith, but all of them are either extremely da'if or they're fabricated hadiths. Okay. The only authentic hadith we know are that for every thousand of Bani Adam, 999 are going to enter hellfire, and they are going to be Ya'juj Ma'juj. Okay, that's all we know, and that's what we're going to stick on. These are the ahadith that are authentic. Okay, and I'm going to mention a few of them. There's lots of them, but I'll mention. So Ali radiallahu an, he says about Ya'juj Ma'juj. He says, "Minhum man tuluhu shibrun." Some Ya'juj Ma'juj, their height is going to be just this much. Okay. وَمِنْهُمْ, and there are going to be those, مَنْ هُوَ مُفْرِطٌ فِي الطُّولِ, they're going to be extremely tall. وَلَهُمْ مِنَ الشَّعَرْ مَا يُوَارِيهِمْ مِنَ الْحَرِّ وَالْبَرْدِ, they don't need to wear clothes, they are going to be filled with hair, and their hair, just like animals, is going to suffice them to protect them from heat and cold. And حذيفة بن يمان رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يأجوج ومأجوج. I asked Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about يأجوج and مأجوج. فقال يأجوج مأجوج أمة ومأجوج أمة. يأجوج is a group of people. مأجوج is a group of people. They're two separate nations. Okay. كل أمة, every nation, 400,000 أمة. In Ya'juj, there are 400,000 nations.
لا يموت رجل منهم, not a person amongst them from one of their ummah dies, حتى ينظر إلى ألف ذكر بين يديه من صلبه. A person from that 400,000, one of them does not die until he sees with his own eyes 1,000 male offsprings of his. Should I go further in these hadiths? Because these are, and these are all in our main hadith books and main tafsir books. Okay. Sorry? Oh, 100%. Yeah, this is a sign of, they are going to be the sign of, we're going to get to that. We're trying to understand who Ya'juj Ma'juj are first, and we'll get into that. I think we'll probably hardly get to Ya'juj Ma'juj today, but we'll see. Then the hadith goes on. قلت يا رسول الله صفهم لنا. Now we know that they're going to be so much in numbers. What is their sifa? I.e., give us the characteristics and attributes of them. Okay. قال هم ثلاثة أصناف. There are three categories. Okay. صنف منه أمثال الأرز. There's a group of them. There's a group of them. They are. So there's two meanings. Aruz, i.e., there's a group of them that are going to be the size of ruz, rice, grains. And the other meaning, if you take the word aruz as cedar trees, aruz can also mean cedar trees. Allahu alam what Rasulullah meant. Both meanings can come. Okay. I think the cedar one is more appropriate. Okay. Because of all the other. So one of them, they're going to be as tall as a cedar tree. قلت يا رسول الله ما الأرز. So then Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says شجر بالشام. It's a tree. Cedar tree is rampant in Sham. Right? Cedar is rampant in Sham. You can see all throughout the Levant area. Cedar is well known to be found in that area of the Levant. So then they said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, the cedar tree, but what type of cedar trees? Because there are some small trees and then the tall cedars and, like, you know, Canadian cedars, and a whole bunch of cedars. Right? So then he says, طول الشجرة 20 meters في السماء. ذراع is this. Right? So take out your calculators. Let's do this together. Okay. This is what? 24 inches? Right? 2.5 feet? 2.5 feet? So 2.5 feet is 30 inches. Do 30 inches. For simplicity of math, we'll say 3 feet. Okay? So 3 feet times 120 of this. So 120 times 3 feet. 360 feet tall. Okay? 360 feet tall. And if you take the least estimates, then you do 2 feet times 120, still 240 feet tall. That's pretty tall. Okay. وَصِنْفٌ مِنْهُمْ. And the other, there's a second category. عَرْضُهُ وَطُولُهُ سَوَاءٌ 20 meters. The other category, so these are just going to be tall, lanky people. The other ones are going to be wide. So they're like a square. Their length and their height is 120 zira. They're like a bulldozer, like block that walks. Okay. وَهَٰؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَقُومُ لَهُمُ الْجَبَلُ وَلَا حَدِيدٌ. This wide group of people, like square people that are going to be walking, right? In front of them, no mountain will be able to stand, and no hadith. They are literally men of steel. I.e., you can use any form of steel in this world. لا يقوم أمامه حديد. No bullets are going to kill them. No, and this is very indicative. You can bomb them. You can do whatever. They will not be affected by steel projectiles. Okay. وهؤلاء الذين لا يقوم لهم جبل ولا حديد وصنف منهم يفترش أحدهم. This is even shocking. And the other group is going to be just a group, يَفْتَرِشُ أَحَدُهُمْ أُذُنَهُ. So they have long ears. And one of them will take one of these ears and make it as a bed and use the other ear. They will use the other ear. وَيَلْتَحِفُ بِالْآخَرِ. And they will use the other ear as a lihaf, as a blanket. Okay? And then Prophet ﷺ says, وَلَا يَمُرُّونَ بِفِيلٍ وَلَا وَحْشٍ وَلَا جَمَلٍ وَلَا خِنْزِيرٍ إِلَّا أَكَلُوهُ. They will come across any wild animal, except they will literally grab that animal and eat it. إِلَّا أَكَلُوهُ. إِلَّا أَكَلُوهُ وَمَنْ مَاتَ مِنْهُمْ أَكَلُوهُ. If one of them dies, they will eat their own kind. They have cannibalism in them. مُقَدِّمَتُهُمْ بِالشَّامِ. When they're going to enter this world, they are going to the front end of that, their battalion, the front end of their cavalry is going to be in Sham. وَسَاقُهُمْ بِخُرَسَانِ. And their other end is going to be in Khurasan, in Iran. So all the way from Sham today, you know, Syria, Damascus, all of that, and all the way to Iran, when they're going to, like, that's how long their army is going to be. Okay? يَشْرُبُونَ أَنْهَارَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَبُحَيْرَةُ الطَّبَرِيَّةِ. Buhayra al-Tabariyya, this is a lake of Tabariyya in the Levant area. They're going to drink every water source that exists from Khurasan, Iran, all the way to this area, including Buhayra al-Tabariyya. Okay. Okay. So that's one description. You guys want another hadith? Okay. ثُمَّ النَّاسُ مِنْ وَصْفِهِمْ بِقَصْرِ الْقَامَ وَصِغْرِ الْجُسَّةِ. So there's going to be groups that are going to be shibr, as Ali radiallahu anhu said, right? And they're going to be really small, okay? بِكَوْنُ الطُّولِ أَحَدُهُمْ شِبْرًا وَمِنْهُمْ وَصَفُهُمْ بِطُولِ الْقَامَ كِبْرِ الْجُسَّةِ وَأَثْبَتُ لَهُمْ مَخَالِيبِ. They're going to have claws. وَالْأَظَافِرِ and nails. They're going to have claws and those claws are going to have nails. وَالْأَضْرَاسِ canines. Every single one of them is going to be a literal vampire. Okay. كأضراس السبع. And Prophet ﷺ was like, it's not just any canines, it's the canines of a feline cat. واختلفوا في كيفية. The only difference is like how long the canines are going to be. Some are like, they're going to be long, they're going to be short, but at the end, everybody agreed that they're going to have canines. And the other major ikhtilaf between the scholars is كَيْفِيَةُ إِفْسَادِهِمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay? How are they going to destroy this earth? That is massive tafsir and hadith and stuff in our tafsir books. Like, you can keep on reading and reading and get confused. Okay? There's a massive ikhtilaf on, like, but everybody confirms that there's going to be mass destruction at their hands. Okay? فَلَا يَتَرُكُونَ لَهُمْ شَيْئًا أَخْضَرٌ وَلَا جُمْلَةَ بِلَفْزِ الْفَسَادِ. They're not going to leave anything. And when we use the word fasad, it means every single thing of corruption and fasad you can think of, they're going to engage in. Okay. Question for all of you guys. Where are they today? We'll stop here because I think we'll not do the next part of the ayah. Where are they today? Are they in this world? That, yeah, so if they are this big, if they're this big, and they're behind a copper wall, the wall has to be at least 250, 240 feet tall, at least, on the least estimates of zira, right? We'll take a short man's zira, right? So, but still, where are they? Maryam. Ah, could they be in a different realm? Can they be in a different realm? They could. Okay. Anybody else? They're here.
We don't see them? Mm-hmm. But there, it's a physical structure. The jinn interacts with their physical world of ours. They don't have their own physical world. So they use our world, but we just don't see them. They have a physical realm. Okay? 240 feet tall copper steel building, copper steel wall. Huh? Yeah. By this time, Elon Musk could have figured it out. They could also be in underground. Okay, beautiful. They could also be underground. Okay. Where are they? Inshallah, we'll talk about them next week. But it's enough. And these are just two of the 18 or 19 authentic ahadith that talk about their, you know, كَأَنَّ وُجُوهَهُمْ إِجَانِ الْمِطْرَقَى. Their faces are like somebody has taken a, you know, cast iron skillet and slapped their face, and it's like they're just flat faced. It literally says مِجَانِ يعني, you know, your shields. Somebody's like, take that shield and imagine if the shield was hammered flat. Right? That's how their face is. Okay. There's so many other descriptions given about them, but I intentionally gave descriptions that you may not have heard about. All other descriptions you may have heard about them, but these are other descriptions that exist. They are going to be a test for us. They're going to be one of the greatest tests that the Ummah is going to be tested. And they are one of the minor signs or major signs? Major. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that, inshallah, next week. Okay? Sounds good, inshallah. Yes. Any questions about this? Yes. Yeah, it's in the Quran. We don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell us that. Huh? We don't know which. He's traveling from one place to another. Yeah. Most of the tafsir scholars have considered this all taking place in the earth. But then I look at it from this angle. If this story is supposed to protect me from Dajjal, considering that he went from China to like Japan, and then he saw a sunrise, is not very miraculous in its nature, if you think about it. Right? So how is Dhul-Qarnayn's story is supposed to protect me if he's just having normative travel from one place to another? Oh, so it literally, because some of the tafsir scholars, they said, oh, basically he started traveling until he came to a city, and because he was traveling all day long, the sun was setting in that city. But then there's a lot of questions that are unanswered. For example, tell me a city that you cannot, this city did not have any protection from the sun. That's not possible. Not five. Five are not mentioned. Three are mentioned. Three are mentioned. So he's exiting from one. He's exiting, and we'll get into the Ya'juj Ma'juj, right? We'll get into the Ya'juj Ma'juj where they are. And if are they coming from a different realm? And then that could be the fourth world. If they're coming from a fourth world and they are entering into that hole, that barrier has been patched, right? And all of that we'll discuss inshallah next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everybody that is here. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها يا رب العالمين اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا بما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا كريم اللهم انشر علينا رحمتك وانشر علينا حكمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم انشر علينا رحمتك وانشر علينا حكمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم
صلى الله تعالى على خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أذان.